success of this story. Henry trembled in the darkness. He could feel the bark of a tree against his back, but the rest of the world had dissolved into shadowy shapes. For a moment, he even forgot where he was. The park, somebody's backyard, perhaps Lafayette Square. All he knew for certain was that it was not indoors. That he dared not risk. He had awakened in his hotel room in the pre-dawn previous morning, had awakened from a strange dream that he was aboard a ship on the ocean, rocking gently, incessantly, but when Henry's eyes opened, the rocking persisted. He sat up in bed. The bed continued to heave and to sway. He stumbled to his feet, groping his way to the window, and there in the nether light, on the border of day and night, Henry beheld a ghastly sight. Entire buildings nodding as willows in the wind, and huge chunks of them toppling to the street below, and then the horrible cries of fear and pain rising in a monstrous crescendo from the gloom, and the individual unintelligible anguished voices echoing in the distance, men calling to their wives, mothers to their children, until one of those huge swaying buildings crumbled in a heap, and its dying roar drowned out all else. Henry, his heart pounding, clung to the lurching windowsill for an interminable time, watching mesmerized as the earth itself performed a dance of death, and then the plaster began to crack and fall from the hotel room ceiling. Henry wheeled about, gathering clothing in his arms and hurling it at open suitcases. With what was left, he dressed himself. Anxious minutes later, he was dashing through the city streets, crowds swarming all around him, structures reeling or disintegrating or in flames, and then the most important thing of all flashed into Henry's mind. Had he packed his passport? He stopped in his tracks. He fumbled through a valise and, yes, there it was. His only identification, perhaps his only way out of this upside-down world. The rest of the day blurred by as Henry elbowed and pushed through frantic mobs seeking refuge. Once again, night fell. Henry would spend it beneath a tree, clutching his passport to his breast, and thus comforted, he slept. The following day, Henry managed to reach a train depot in a neighboring city. In the wake of the disaster, the army and the police had erected roadblocks, but each opened wide for Henry because of his passport. In school, you learned what happened at 5:13 in the morning 88 years ago today. The catastrophe that will forever be remembered as the great San Francisco earthquake. But now you have seen it through the eyes of a visitor to that city who never visited that city again. A man whose name in English is Henry, and who was then hailed as the world's most magnificent voice. For once upon a nightmare, a guest at the Palace Hotel awakened to a horror he was never, ever to forget. But he got through that unimaginable ordeal, and at least in part because he had a passport. A framed photograph of then-President Theodore Roosevelt, signed in the President's own hand, signed to Enrico Caruso. And now you know the rest of the story.